Coming to afternoon already. So good afternoon, church. So the question is God dead? Okay. I'm glad you know the answer. Let me try again. Is God dead? Ah, good. Yeah, I don't need to preach any. Okay, let's look to God together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we serve a living Savior. We serve a mighty God. Lord, we ask of you to come and illuminate our mind. Help us to understand the depth of this truth even more today. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and dismantle every argument, every principalities and power that set itself up against the knowledge of God. Help us today to see Jesus clearly, to love you dearly, and to follow you closely. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this man, a German philosopher by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche, made this comment that God is dead in 1883. Alright? What he meant wasn't that God died, but rather he felt that because of the advance of age of enlightenment, God is no longer the credible source of absolute moral principles. Now, the people that came after him continue to use the word God is dead to mean that God is no longer present in the life of humanity. Because people don't feel God, people don't see God, and therefore God is dead. Right, so that was the argument. Now, however, the feeling that God is dead have creeped into the church as well. Among the church people as well as the atheists, people are beginning to think about this word, God is dead. So much so that it came up in the Times magazine in 1966. They actually put out a cover story about this topic, is God dead? Just to read out a paragraph of the excerpt. Is God dead? It is a question that tantalizes both believers who perhaps secretly fear that he is, and the atheists who possibly suspect that the answer is no. And in this case, I think the atheists have more faith than the believers. Now, the question is, what's wrong with that assertion that God is dead? What's wrong? What's wrong with this statement that God is dead? Besides the fact that it's not true, what's wrong with this statement is that it has exalted man to the place of a judge. Right? It has exalted humanity to a place of judge, to judge the reality of God. God has been put on trial. But the fact of the matter is that man is not very good in judging. No offense to any judge around us. The truth is that because of our limited access to information, right, we are flawed in our own interpretation of reality because our physical senses are limited. We don't have access to full realities. Just because you don't feel that God is around, just because we don't see God, it does not mean that God is not around. Does it make sense to you? Right, because our physical senses are limited. Now, I'd like to illustrate this for you. Would you like to see a physical illustration that our senses are limited? This is yes, this is no. Okay, good. I've asked Elder Raymond to represent all of us. Can we welcome Elder Raymond? Now, he is an elder, so he can be trusted, right? Okay. So, Elder Raymond, can you just help me?
Yeah, okay.
You have not done this before, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Now, he will represent all of you to look at me and then you try to follow what I do closely. Right, this is just to illustrate that our visual sensory can be limited.
Okay?
So you follow me, yeah? So you hold the string like this. Alright? So, okay? Then you do a fish head like that. Can you see a fish head? Okay? Go inside the fish head, come up. Go in Yes, go in and come up. Correct, right? Okay, now I'm going to show you first, then you do, okay? So I want you to let go of the rope like that. Okay, I'll go first. So you see? I have a knot here. Alright? So you let go? No, you can't. You must follow me closely, okay? Try again. Okay. Try again, huh? Okay. Go over, yes. Alright? Then you go in and then come up. Go in here, yes, and then come up. Correct. Okay, hold properly. Now, you don't let go of both ends. Don't let go of both ends, okay? You just let the string drop off. Okay, you see the string drop off and you see the knot here. Okay, you try? Okay. We'll try one last time, okay? Can we encourage Elder Raymond? Okay. Don't let go of this end. Okay? Don't let go of both ends. Okay? You just go this way. Right? Go in and come out. Correct. Okay, so far you're correct. Yeah? Remember, cannot let go of both ends. Cannot let go. Huh? You just let the string drop down and then you see the loop. Okay, so you don't let go of both ends. Just, okay, slowly, slow motion. Huh? Just let go. Let it drop out. Okay. Alright, Elder Raymond has successfully proved to you that our senses are limited. Correct? Alright, now before Elder Raymond goes, this is our song album to thank you for volunteering yourself. Thank you. Now just in case you all think Kelong, not Kelong one. Elder Raymond is a very trustworthy man, okay? Now I'm just using this to illustrate to you that our visual senses are limited. Alright? He could not do what I did because I did something more. But he did not catch it. You want to know what is the something more? Pay me $70, I tell you. there are professional magicians around us, so I cannot do it. I do it, I pitch out lubang, they are leaving. Okay. But I'm just using this to illustrate to us that you can focus on something, but we can still miss some details. Now, just in case you are still not convinced, I'm going to give you one more example. Which direction is she dancing? Or is she spinning? Clockwise, anti-clockwise? Now, depending on which leg you are focusing on, alright? If you focus on the orange color leg, she's going clockwise. If you focus on the blue color leg, she's going anti-clockwise. Do you realize that? Wow, you're staring very hard. I can go back Google and do it for yourself, okay? Now I'm doing this just to illustrate to you that our eyes can be easily fooled. Alright? Our visual senses can be easily influenced. It depends on the condition that is set for you. Right? All these that I'm trying to do is to just to help us to understand that our physical senses are limited. Alright, so we should not try to live life just trusting our physical senses alone. However, some of us, we don't just trust our physical senses. We live life being led by our physical senses. And that's not good. Alright, because when you live life being led by your senses, so when you feel that God is not around, you conclude that God is not around. And that's not right. Because that's not true. Perhaps today as you walked in, some of you, you may be facing some crisis in your life right now. Some of you may have just lost a job because retrenchment is high in Singapore. Some of you perhaps are struggling through some physical ailment. Some of us may be going through some life issue. And for some of us, you may feel like God has been silent as you go through these difficult periods. And some of you may even conclude that God is not real in your life. Today I want you to know that that's not true. Right? Don't trust your senses because your senses, they do not tell you everything. Right? God is active and God is constantly at work in our lives. I like how John Piper put it. He put it this way. God is always doing 10,000 things in your life and you may be aware of 3 of them. Okay, maybe that's where you get the inspiration for 10,000 reasons. I mean the song. Okay, never mind here. Our physical senses are limited. God is doing a lot more things in our life. But our physical senses can perhaps capture 3 or a small portion of what God is doing. Even right now when you're sitting here listening to me, God is doing something. Alright, and so what will help us to know what God is doing beside our physical senses, one area of our life that will help us is our posture. Beside our physical senses, we must also check our posture. Well, the good news is God has outlived nature. We come back to the verse that we've been focusing on this month. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Mighty, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Alright, today my turn is to touch on Mighty God. Alright, I'm here to share with you about Mighty God. But instead of focusing on Mighty God, I felt that it's important for me to help us to appreciate or to learn how to see God in our lives. Because I can tell you that God is mighty. But if you cannot see Him, you cannot experience Him, you will not be able to experience the might of God, the greatness of God in your life. And so today I'm going to focus more on how you and I can see God in our life. Now where do we go? I'm not going to depend on our physical senses. I want us to come back to the Word of God. Right, the only way you and I can really know God is to come back to the unchanging Word of God. And that should be the basis of our knowledge of God. If you need an assurance of God's presence because of what you're going through, or perhaps some of you say, Pastor, how can I recognize God? Or how can I see God at work? I'd like to bring you to a passage in Scripture that will help us. All right, specifically, I want to bring you to Psalms 8. All right, today I'm going to spend some time to unpack Psalms 8 for all of us. Psalms 8 is written by David, King David. And for some of you, your Bible, you can see the word on the Gittith. All right, it is a string instrument that David brought back from Gath. All right, this is a string instrument. It looks a bit like a kitar, but it's not a kitar, it's a harp. All right, it's a string instrument. He brought from the town of Gath. The town of Gath is actually the place of Goliath. All right, the place of Goliath. And in 1 Samuel 17:33, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, you're only a child. He has been fighting men from his youth." Now, I mention this verse because I believe this verse is implied in Psalms 8. Right? As we read Psalms 8 later, you can see that Psalms 8 share with us that God uses the weak to overcome the powerful. All right, and so I think that this verse is implied in Psalms 8. Now, I put Psalms, there are altogether 9 verses, I put them into 4 slides. This is what I like us to do, okay? So this whole block here, you read the first slide. This block here, you read the second slide. Okay, this block means from here all the way to the parent session. Right? Now, this block here, you read the third slide. This group here, fourth slide. All right? And those of you out by the balcony, you'll join us on the fourth slide as well. Okay, let's end with a crescendo, okay? Are you ready? Okay, ready? Start. Fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Right? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Right? Psalms 8 starts with this verse. Psalms 8 ends with the same verse. Now when the psalmist does that, what is he trying to tell us? This is the focus of the psalms. The focus of the psalm is to tell us that we serve a mighty God. Alright, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That we have a majestic God. We have a great God. Now, what does a majestic God mean? What does a mighty God mean? I'd like to quote from John Piper again. Now, before that, I'd like you to pay attention to the word O Lord, L-O-R-D and L-O-R-D. What's the difference? Same, but different, huh? This one are all in caps. When they are in caps, what do they mean? They mean this, Yahweh. Alright? And so this is how John Piper expound the word mighty, majestic God means to us. God named himself Yahweh, the absolutely existing one. There's no place in all the earth where God is not Yahweh, where he is not the absolute one. Everywhere, everything depends absolutely on him. He has no viable competitors anywhere. He is above all things everywhere. Alright, He sustains all things everywhere. He is the ground and the goal of all things everywhere. He is greater and wiser and more beautiful and wonderful than everything everywhere. That is the mighty God we serve. That's the mighty God we call on. Where God is absolutely in control of everything everywhere. Now, how you and I can see this majestic God? How you and I can see this great God? Let's come back to Psalms 8. Psalms 8 starts with this. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Alright, that's the purpose of the psalm. And it tells us who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. But immediately after he talks about how great God is, he focused on something. Verse 2. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemies and the revengeful cease. How you and I can see the mighty God. How you and I can experience the great God. Alright, Psalms 8 in verse 2 tell us, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes. Meaning we can look at children, and children can show us the mighty God to us. How is that so? Let me share with you some observation and then I put it together for you. First observation, God has enemies. Alright, so you and I don't want to be enemies of God, huh? God has enemies. Okay, the verse 2 tell us, He has adversaries, He has enemies. Question, what's the purpose of the enemies of God? Now, it will take very long for me to unpack this theologically for you, but let me just give you a quick summary. The enemies of God seek to deny God of worship. One of the primary purpose of the enemy of God is to deny God of worship. That's the reason why you and I go for mission. When do we go mission? When do we go Thailand? We go Yunnan, we go India and so forth. Why do we go for mission trips? Mission is needed because worship is missing. And that's why when we go for mission trip, we seek to bring the worship of God into that land. Why? Because the enemy of God is denying God of worship. Now God is a powerful God. God is Yahweh. God is great. God is mighty. God can remove His enemy easily. The enemy can cease because God can speak and says, my enemy be ceased and all the enemy will be gone. Isn't it? God is powerful. But God did not remove His enemy by Himself. How did He remove His enemy? Alright, at least from the text it says that He removed His enemy by children. Now, He used children to remove His enemy. He used children to defeat His enemy. Now, how did He use the children? Did He give the children some vitamins, then the children become strong, and then they're able to defeat the enemies? Is that what God did with children? How did the children defeat the enemies? Verse 2, come back to verse 2 again. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes. What come out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes? Well, somebody very terrible says vomit. Okay, before we come to that part, okay? What naturally come out of the mouth of infants? Cry. Alright? The baby just cry and the enemy is defeated. Right? If you take it literally, that's what it meant. Now, just in case you think that this is just a simple verse, do you know that Jesus quoted this verse as well? Alright? In Matthew 21:16, Jesus said to them, have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. The cry of infants became praise of God. Now, Jesus did not mean literally that the baby suddenly burst out and singing 10,000 reasons. Right? That's not what Jesus meant. What did Jesus mean? What He meant is that children can become the praise of God. Now, how can that be possible? Let me give you the interpretation. God's glory can be seen in weak vessels. God can use what is simple, God can use what is weak and magnify His glory through them. That's the principle in verse 2. Alright? God is big, a child is small. God is powerful, a child is powerless. God is independent, a child is dependent. God is ageless, a child is young. But God can move His glory through a weak vessel. Now, this has been the principle of God, because God repeated that again. God emphasized that again in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Consider your calling, brethren. There are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. God has chosen. So in Psalms 8, what have you done is that he has chosen the weak things, the little children, the little child, to defeat his enemy. Right? God revealed his glory through weak vessels. Now today when you come in here, some of you may be feeling weak. You may be feeling that you have come to a difficult part of your life and you are struggling. Perhaps some of you may even feel like you have come to the end of yourself. I'd like to encourage us on the basis of Scripture that when we come to an end of ourselves, and that's where it's the beginning of God. Let me repeat that again. When we come to an end of ourselves, and that's where the beginning of God starts. So I encourage us, if you feel like you're going through a hard time right now, you're going through a difficulty, maybe you've just lost your job, or maybe you're struggling through a sickness, or you're going through some difficulties at home, I want to encourage you. When you are feeling weak, that's where you can be strong. That's where you can see the strength of God coming through your life. I believe that this is prophetic for some of you. That some of you, you're going through a hard time right now, and you wonder if you can ever get out of it. On the basis of God's word, I want to encourage you. When you are weak, this way you can see the strength of God. When we come to the end of ourselves, and that's the beginning of God. But there's a very important key that will help us to unlock the glory of God in your life. One very important key. All right, if you miss it, you will not be able to see the glory of God. What is that? We need to be humble. One of the ways to unleash the power of God, the glory of God in your life, is that you and I must be humble. You see, God is mighty, but we are mortal. God is the Lord, we are the subject. God judges, we will be judged. God will reveal himself, but we must be humble enough to receive the revelations. And we must learn to come to God on his term. We must not insist that, oh God, I have this problem right now. I need you to part the Red Sea for me. I need you to calm the storm for me. I need you to give me what I want. Then I know you are real. See, when we do that, when we insist on what we want, we will not be able to see God because of the lack of humility. Many of us cannot see God in our lives because of this lack of humility in our hearts. Because we want things our ways. And that's why some of us, we can't see God. The Bible encourages us to have humility. Humility like little children. Children who are very simple, who are very pure. That's why the Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We must learn to be humble like the little children who just simply believe. And then you will see God. Just as an aside, alright? Can I talk to you about Christmas? All right, we always talk about Christmas being a season of giving, right? Why is Christmas a season of giving? Now, we got this drum into our mind because the commercial advertiser keep telling us. Because they want your money, okay? But you think with me for a while. Because someone has started by telling us, December is a season of giving because God gave. Sounds right, right? December is a month of giving because God gave. God gave His Son. Now, if God gave, what then is the appropriate response of humanity? Receive. If truly Christmas is a season of giving, then the posture for you and I is, we must then be the posture of receiving. We must learn to receive from the Lord first, before we give on behalf of God. Alright, by all means give. I'm ready for presents, okay? But we must first learn to receive from the Lord. We must learn to receive from the Lord so that as the Lord fills us, we can then give. We must first receive the revelation from God, fresh revelation of God, before we can tell others about God. So I encourage us. And one of the ways that will help you and I to know more about God, to experience more of God, we must have this posture of humility of hearts. to receive. God can show His glory through our human weakness. God can show His glory in your weakness. But you must be humble enough to let God do so. And in moments when we are feeling helpless, God can come through. I'd like to read for you a testimony from this book. You all know this book, right? Yes? Okay, I just want to encourage you to read it because many people have read it and come back to us and say that they've been very encouraged. So I'm going to share with you some testimony in this book to encourage your heart as well. Because there are people who went through moments of weakness, moments of feeling that they are end of themselves. And some of them are young Christians, young babes in Christ. But they saw the goodness of God, the glory of God. So let me just read for you one particular story. Since coming to Christ, my life has been transformed by God's hand. I've also received so much of God's blessing. Besides salvation, the next greatest gift that I've received is pregnancy. After having experienced a miscarriage earlier, my husband and I have tried for a year to conceive, but were met with disappointments and filled with anxiety, as we later found out that I had cysts, which could make the conception difficult. So you just pause and think for a moment. If you are in that situation, you can imagine how hopeless you can feel. Alright? However, God showed me many times that He was there for us each step of the journey. I answered an altar call in PPTC, specifically made for women trying to conceive, and was told that God was cleansing my body and restoring it. You can see that she was willing to humble herself to come for prayer. As a new believer, I learned through the sermon on how to pray, how to give thanks in all things, and claim the promises of God with boldness. Whenever I was faced with disappointment and stress, God always came through as my Jehovah Shalom and restored my peace and hope. My mentor in BBTC, Auntie Janet, did an abbreviated RTA for me in March this year, where I also let go of my traumatic miscarriage experience and gained freedom in Christ. It was also in March that I found out that my husband and I are expecting a child. I'm due for delivery in November 2016. It has been an incredible journey filled with God's mercy. I pray that I can continue to use my pregnancy as a testimony of how God has been so good and faithful through it all, so that many others can see the glory of God and be encouraged to trust in God's perfect timing and plans for our lives. God is good. Amen? Alright? Yes, she came to an end of herself. She struggled with difficulties to conceive, but God came through. God can come through in your weakness. In your weak moments, if you are going through weak moments today, I want to encourage you, God can come through. His glory can come through in your life. But we need to have this posture to be humble before God, to allow God to be God in our lives. How can we see the mighty God in our life? God is certainly not there. And how can you and I see God? According to Scripture, we can see in His choice of children, all right, weak vessels. Now, God is certainly not there. God is in control. God is alive. He decides and how and when He will reveal Himself. But you and I must learn to be humble, to be pure in heart, and then we will see God. Don't be proud. Don't be insistent of our way. Because when we are so full of ourselves, we will not be able to see God. Our posture of humility is key to see more of God in our lives. Secondly, how else can we see God? We can see in His compassion towards man, His compassion for man, from verse 3 to verse 8. Alright, we're going to see how God demonstrates His compassion for us. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. Verse 3 tells us that when God created the moon and the stars with His finger, God must be very big to build the earth, isn't it? Okay lah, you're not very convinced. Okay, some of you know, Pastor, this is metaphorical speaking. Okay, this is just figurative. Okay, I get it. But just how big is our universe? How big is our universe? Okay, I'd like to show you a video clip just to show you how big our universe is. Alright, can we have the video? So what's my point of showing you this video? To show you how big the universe is. A very simple point. I hope you get it. Heavens reveal the greatness of God. Because God created all of the universe. God is huge. God is great. God is mighty. You see, the psalmist could have just ended at verse 3. That God painted such a big universe. Isn't it? If his point is to tell us that, hey, we have a great God, you know. Just look at the heavens. And then some of us, when we go for a holiday, when we see natural, our nature, we have a sense of awe. We sense that God is there. Why? Because creation revealed the glory of God. But in Psalms 8, the psalmist did not end at verse 3. What did he do after that? After telling us that God painted the heaven, the moon and the stars, he went on to tell us in verse 4, what is man? Right, from the bigness of God, then suddenly he focused on man. What is man that you take thought of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than God. You crown him with glory and majesty. You made him to rule over the works of your hand. You put all things under his feet. Verse 7 and 8 basically tell you all things. That's very interesting. What is man? Man is small. Man is insignificant in the light of the total creation of God. Yet God, who made the entire universe, this mighty God, chose to focus on man and to give us his compassion, to release his compassion upon man. That's how special we are to him. Right? He gave us dignity above all created things. Now verse 5 tells us, you made him a little lower than God. If you go back to your, this is in Psalms 8. In the Hebrew, the word is Elohim. And therefore, the translation should be God. But I know that some of your translation is angels. Right? If you look at some of your Bible, you discover that your translation is, you mean you a little lower than angels. Right? Because the translation comes from Septuagint. And that's, but don't get bothered about these technical details. I think, let's catch the principle. What's the principle? The principle is this. The great almighty God who made heaven and earth, this big God, has chosen to create us and make us slightly lower than a heavenly being, but above all earthly beings. You get the contrast? We are just slightly below the heavenly beings, but we are above all earthly things. We are above all earthly things. God has given us such unique dignity. Such unique position and purpose. Alright, from 4 to 8, you can see that God has shown his compassion towards man by giving us a unique position and a unique purpose in life. What are they? Alright, we are created lower than God, depending on whether you're looking at Hebrew or angels in Septuagint. And we are crowned with glory and majesty. God has given us a unique position that cannot be robbed. Now, in order to help you to understand that, some of you may have seen this illustration before. Let me do this again for you. This is a $50 note. Alright? Now, if I crush this dollar note, we nullify the value. Okay, I throw it on the floor. I step on it. I can't step on it because there's someone's face. Alright, so assume that the note has been crushed. It has been rejected. It has been trampled upon. What happened to this dollar note? What happened to the value of this dollar note? Is it still valuable? Yes, right. Yeah. It's very crumpled up because this is the third service. Now, this is valuable. Why? Because someone here is signed chairman of MAS. I mean, what it means is that the government backed up the value of this dollar. That's why this currency, this note is still valuable. Now, in the same way, look at ourselves. We may be crushed by the things in our life. We may be rejected by men. We may be trampled by our friends, our so-called friends. But it still does not, they don't change your intrinsic value. You know why? Because you are backed up by the Almighty God. You see, even for currency, one day, depending on the government, it may mean nothing, you know. Like in the case of India rupiah, right? Overnight, the 500 rupiah means nothing. But for us, your worth will never change because you are backed up by a God who does not change. Can I hear amen? Your worth is backed up by someone who does not change. And therefore, you will always be valuable. Not only that you have a unique position, you have a unique calling. God has given us a purpose to rule and reign with Him. God has given us work to do so that we can reflect His glory on earth. Now, Jesus repeated that in Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our works reflect the glory of God. Right? God who created the heaven, who is a great God, show His compassion towards us by giving us unique position, unique purpose in life. What a privilege. You're not defined by your calling card. It doesn't matter what your calling card says because you're defined by your caller. Right? So if your calling card may say that you're the CEO, so what? Because your caller call you co-heirs with Him. Which one is higher? You're just a CEO of a small company compared to co-heirs with God over all of creation. It's how special you are. How great God has made us to be. God wants us to reveal His glory when we rise up to rule and reign with God. That's why in BBTC, our end product is priest and king. Because we know that God wants us to rule and reign with Him. I'd like to read to you another story. This time it's about one of our BBTians who rise up to be priest and king, to rule and reign in the marketplace. And when he does that, God's glory is revealed. Right, so let me quickly read for you. Early in 2016, my team shifted to a temporary office which we were to occupy for the next 4 months. Suddenly, some staff began to fall sick and others claimed to have strange sightings of unclean spirit. For the first time since I rejoined the sales and marketing team, we were on the verge of losing a key account. I believe this event had bearing over my immediate boss' decision to shift the office. He asked that we either go with him to a new office or secure a feng shui master, despite knowing my personal conviction and objection as a Christian. I was placed in a very uncomfortable situation. I prayed and sought wisdom so as not to be swayed by the easy temptation to go along with this worldly option while abandoning my conviction in Christ. In the end, after securing consensus from the staff, I told my boss that we have decided not to shift as we give him the reason that his other office is not big enough. Next, I gathered enough courage to ask the staff if they would like me to cleanse and bless the new office in their presence. I thank God they were all open to the ideas. In the gathering, about 20 of my colleagues who are all non-Christian, we begin to cleanse and bless the entrance and the office as well as the conference room. I also led the prayers to expel any evil spirit into the lake of fire and invited the joy and peace of God to reside in the place. And I prayed and blessed every staff member and their families and the work of their hands. See, this BBTian rise up to be priest and king. After the prayer, we begin to see the atmosphere change. I almost instantaneously received an acknowledgement from a key account that after several days of silence, despite our frantic call, followed by more positive news of other accounts that were being negotiated, we eventually concluded two contracts following the press. I also now sense a more joyful, peaceful atmosphere in the office. There were even comments that we should have blessed the office much earlier. Praise God indeed. All glory to God alone. This has certainly lived up my faith and conviction in our God. He does not forsake us, especially when we desire to bring His glory to His name. Amen? So if you need to cast out any demon, call this brother up. You're supposed to laugh. Okay, never mind. You don't have to call him. Who should you call? Ghostbusters, no. Who should you call if you need to pray for your office? Of course, call Jesus, but who do you ask to do it? Yourself. You see, church, it is all about all of us rising up as priests and king. God wants you and I to all rise up to rule and reign with Him. You see, we would have failed as a church if ever you need a prayer, always come back to the pastor, always come back to the elders. We have failed. Because God's design for us is that every one of us in this hall, we will rise up as priests and kings for God to rule and reign with God. God will then be glorified. So this is what I'd like us to do. Okay, turn and okay, you must first fill your heart with conviction. Psalms 8, verse 3 to verse 5 can be summarized in verse 5. God's glory and majesty are shared with humanity. Alright, from verse 3 to verse 5, what God was trying to tell us in that Psalms was that He will share His glory and majesty with us. Alright, verse 5 tells us, yet you made Him a little lower than God. You crowned Him with glory and majesty. God crowned us with glory and majesty. This is what I'd like us to do. Fill your heart with conviction, turn to the person beside you, and tell the person, you are crowned with glory and majesty. And you must believe it because there are power in spoken words. Alright? Because some of us, we don't think so. You know, I know that whenever we do an exercise like this, there will always be someone of us that will feel like, Pastor, you don't know me. I'm a horrible man. Some of you will feel like, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm still struggling with some sin in my life. I'm a terrible person. Pastor, you don't know me, how terrible I am. You know, the answer is actually, I know. I know who you are. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. Saved by the grace of God. Apart from the grace of God, we are all sinners condemned for hell. But because of God, because of the grace of God, you and I today are clothed with glory and majesty. Can I hear amen? Amen. Right? Y'all don't seem to be very excited about it. It's an important revelation that you must know in your heart. You are crowned with glory and majesty. You and I have the potential to reveal the glory of God to the people around us. All it takes for us is to be willing to let God lead us. Give our life fully to God, and you will begin to see the transforming power of God at work. One of the keys that will help us to unlock the glory of God in your life, there are many keys, but let me just give you one application. One application that will help you and I to unlock the power, the glory of God in your life. Be thankful. One of the ways that will help us is to be thankful. Alright? Christian life is not about doing more. Christian life is about rejoicing in the life, in God more. One of the things about Christian life is that we must learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Right? John Piper said this, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied, when we are most thankful in God. Now, it is possible to find a very committed Christian that are not thankful. Have you seen very committed Christian who look like this? Right? I've seen some committed Christian who looks like papaya face. But it is not possible to have a thankful Christian who is not committed. Because a Christian who is truly thankful to the Lord will always be committed. So which one will glorify God more? Someone who is very committed but not thankful, or someone who is thankful and very committed? Which one will glorify God more? Thankful and committed, isn't it? So what does that mean for us? Be thankful in the Lord. Because as you rejoice in the Lord, as you learn to be thankful in God, you reveal God's glory to the people around us. You see, the truth is that all of us are attracted to people who are thankful, who are happy. Isn't it? How many of you are attracted to sour-faced Christian? Don't have, right? All of us are attracted to people who are thankful in the Lord, who are happy in the Lord. So I want to encourage us, let's learn to be thankful in God. Like God is not there. God is actively involved in all our lives. And I want to share with you a closing testimony. Last Friday, that's about 7 days back, I sent my car for servicing. Okay, I'm driving an 8.5-year-old car, so it's not very young, it's not very old, but not very young. It was meant to be a routine servicing. But what was meant to be a routine servicing became a massive repair work. See what happened was I received 3 phone calls from the technician. Mr. Chua, we discovered some more parts that need to be replaced. Then of course, as a typical person, I says, must replace that, must really replace that. They said, don't replace them, not very safe lah. What would you do if you had my shoe? Not very safe. Repair lor. I'm a pastor, I'm not a technician, what? So repair. Mind you, he called me 3 times. Every 1 hour he called me back. Mr. Chua, we discovered your this one not working. Change lor, what to do? Then he called me, hey, change original or not original. I say, you can save money lah. So the last time he called me, on the last final call he called me, he says, Mr. Chua, just prepare you, okay? It will cost you about $1,200. I don't know about you, I feel ouch, very pain. Some of you, $1,200 is loose change, but for me, very painful lah. So, very painful. Now, it took him until 7 p.m. for my car to be ready. So at 7 o'clock, I went to pick up my car. When I picked up my car, I have a shock. Because the bill wrote $1,000. He decided to give me 20% discount. And I'm thankful for the 20% discount, okay? But I was shocked at the exactness of the money, exactness of the cost, $1,000. You see what happened was, the night before, on Thursday night, I received an ang pao. Guess how much is the ang pao? You're so clever. It was $1,000. So, I was shocked by that because it was, you know, it hit me that God provided for me even before I realized I need it. You get the picture? God go before me and provided for me before I know I will need it. And I was so touched by God. Of course, I'm very thankful to the giver of the ang pao too. I think she must be very sensitive to God. But I was so touched. Now I want to tell you more why I was touched. Because last week, I was preparing for this sermon. And this sermon is about helping us to recognize God, helping us to experience God. And so I make a simple prayer to God. God, can I have a fresh encounter with you so that I can tell all of you something new? Can you imagine I come here and tell you, God is real, God is very real. The last time God was real to me was 20 years ago. Will you be very impressed? Will you be very impressed with God that God, the last time God was real to Pastor Sengi was 20 years ago? No, right? So I make this simple prayer. God, give me a fresh encounter with you so that I can tell your people. And God answered that prayer. God answered the prayer for me. I believe God answered the prayer for you as well. To help you to know that we serve a God who's active in our lives. Regardless of whether you feel it, regardless of whether you see it or not. God is always active in our lives. How you and I can see God? We must learn from Scripture. Right? As seen in the choice of children, weak vessels, God will manifest His glory through weak vessels. Or as seen in His compassion towards men, right? By giving us unique position, unique purpose. In order for you and I to really experience God, we need to have this posture of humility, the posture of thankfulness. When your posture is right, you will be able to see more of God in your life. I want to end this sermon with a final video for you. In this final video, I hope that you will engage this posture of humility, this posture of thankfulness. This video has a song that backs it up. The song is We Are the Reason. But what's more important is in the scene that you will watch, you will see the greatest act of compassion towards men. God's greatest act of compassion for you. And I pray that as you watch this greatest act of compassion for us, that we will once and for all cancel the question, is God there? We will cancel it totally. Because I hope that this greatest act of compassion will etch deep in our hearts to know that God is alive in our lives. With that, can we have the video, please?
Of all the gifts and toys, the greatest gift of our lives. We were the reason that He gave His life. We were the reason that He suffered and died. To a world that was lost, He gave all.
We are the reason that He gave His life. We are the reason that He suffered and died. To show the world that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us the reason to live. I hope that that will help us to seal for us once and for all that our God lives, that our God is active in our lives. He loved you so much that He gave everything for you and I. I'd like to invite us to close our eyes, just bow our head. God is here. God is here today. Right now in this hall,
He is mighty to save, and he's mightily interested in you. I just want to give you some time just to allow the truth of the video just sink in your spirit, to help us to know this mighty God who loved you so much and gave himself for you. I'd like to lead us in a prayer from a posture of humility, a prayer that comes from a posture of thanksgiving. I'd like all of you to repeat after me. In the count of three, I'm going to make this prayer. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I humble myself before you today. Thank you for dying for my sin. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I need you. Please come into my life and reign as Lord and King. In Jesus' name. All keep our eyes closed, our head bowed. Perhaps there's some of you, you are here for the first time or maybe a second time. But this is the first time you make this prayer and you mean it with all your heart. You have made this prayer. You might have made this prayer before, but today you make this prayer and you mean it with all your heart that you want Jesus to come into your life. With all eyes closed, all head bowed, I'm going to count to three. If that's who you are, I just want you to quickly put out your hand and then put it down. By doing so, you are telling God, God, I mean it. And with all eyes closed, all head bowed, I'm going to count to three. If that's who you are, put out your hand and put it down. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Now I see your hand. I see your hand. Up at the balcony. Thank you. Yes, God sees your hand. Lord, I thank you for these who have lifted up their hands to you. Lord, we pray and we want to bless them right now. That Lord, that you'll come into their life and be their Lord and Savior. Be their Lord and King. And help them to live up the life that you want them to live. That their life may reflect your glory. Thank you, Lord. We bless them in Jesus' name. Church, I would like to invite all of us to stand. I think the appropriate song for us to end this service is to thank God for the cross. I'm going to pass the time to Samuel to lead us in the song to thank you for the cross. But I would encourage you, those of you who lift up your hands, please come to the front. All right? If you have brought a friend, invite your friend to come to the front as well. But at the same time, I want to pray for some of us, okay? I want to encourage you, the altar will be open. I shared with you just now that one of the ways for you to see more of God is that we must be humble. We must be willing to humble ourselves. Come to God. Today I know that some of you are struggling with life issues. You feel very weak where you are. But I know you are here. I want to encourage you as we worship the Lord. You come to the Lord. Yes, there will be pastors, there will be elders, there will be leaders to pray for you. But more important, you come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Alright, as we worship, you come.
Thank you for the cross, the mighty cross.
Come to the Lord. Humble ourselves and come to the altar of God. You stay where you are when you know you need to rest. Just come. The power of the cross. We are thankful for all that you have done in our lives. Those that we know and those that we do not even know. Lord, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. Lord, we want to pray that may your word continue to take root and bear lasting fruits in our lives. Help us to be people who walk in a posture of humility. Help us to be people that walk in a posture of thanksgiving. So that regardless of what 2017 will hold for us, Lord, we will continue to give thanks. Because we serve a mighty God that changes all. So Lord, we look with eyes of faith to believe you that Lord, 2017 will be a great year. Because your glory will be made manifest in our life. As we walk in humility, as we walk in thankfulness before you, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, but if you need prayer, just come. Alright? Have a great week ahead.